Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
So, this morning, Pentecost Sunday, what does that mean to you? When we say the words Holy Spirit, what's your initial kind of reaction? It's like, it's like, yes, oh man, a personal friend or just some weird kind of concept, maybe a vapor, a ghost kind of weird thing that's just a little bit too weird. So I'm just going to leave that alone, and I'm happy to embrace the Father and the Son because we get that, but I'd rather stick with Father, Son and Holy Scriptures because I've got that instead of Father, Son and Holy Spirit. And so this day that we come around on our Christian calendar to celebrate Day of Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit was poured out, as Michael read out of Acts chapter 2, in such a remarkable way. And as we've been saying over time, that a lot of people see, some people see the book of Acts and even throughout references within the epistles, the reference to the Holy Spirit, those gifts and the role and function of the Holy Spirit in the early church finished with the age of the apostles, and that's no longer available to us. But I certainly beg to differ, not just because of personal experience, but because of what I see happening and unfolding around me in the church that is actually growing around the world at the moment, are certainly those that are moving more towards the evangelical, charismatic, Pentecostal, embracing and inviting and, dare I say, exploring who the Holy Spirit is and allowing him to have the freedom that he so wishes to have. But it is certainly dependent upon our willingness to invite him in. We're told that Jesus stands at the door and he knocks on the door of our heart, and the door handle's on the inside, and we're the ones that get to choose to open that up to Jesus and allowing him in. And in Genesis, we're told that sin is crouching at the door. So we get to choose what we allow into our lives. And whether we open our lives to things that are going to, as Chrissy mentioned, take us closer and draw us nearer to God and Christ's likeness, or letting things in that are, I guess, of a sinful nature that are taking us further and further away. Now, my simple summary of the supernatural would be that the supernatural exists for primarily one of two reasons. The supernatural exists to either guide us and take us to Jesus Christ, or in subtle or sometimes very obvious ways, take us further and further away from needing to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Does that make sense? So if you think about the different avenues and ways in which we can connect and engage with the supernatural in the world, and that's at our disposal and that's certainly at our fingertips 24/7, and we're bombarded with more options than ever, do those things clearly guide, lead and direct us to who Jesus Christ is and that salvation only comes through him, or does it take us away on an alternative route? And so I see, like, today we have this phenomenal day on the Christian calendar that is worth taking time to just think about. Because we know that the Holy Spirit is certainly acknowledged and recognized throughout the Old Testament. We see that from Genesis chapter 1, right in the very beginning. We see the first two verses. We have, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit," capital S, "Spirit of God, was hovering over the waters." And then in verse 26 of chapter 1, we see that God said, "Let us make man in our image." And so we have this idea in the very first chapter of Scripture that God is, as we now know, three persons in one, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So that question again, when I say those words, Holy Spirit, what is your immediate response? What is your kind of reaction to the Holy Spirit? I think, we can have a choice of how much we're going to open up to who the Holy Spirit is. I like to put it like this. I think that I was speaking to somebody this morning and they said that, you know, our lives should be, we should be on a lifelong quest to learn. And I agree wholeheartedly. But what I think is sometimes even more important is that sometimes we need to unlearn as much as we need to learn. By that I mean we can sometimes have preconceived ideas, sometimes we can have past experiences, sometimes we can hear things that we need to actually take the time to go back to what does the Word of God have to say about the particular topic and get a proper perspective and actually go, what does the Word of God have to say about this? So therefore I might need to unlearn certain things so I can learn the truth and that truth that can set me free. And so the Holy Spirit for me is... He's the third person of the Trinity. We know that. He is a person. We know that he's described. And Bronwyn Tate, when she was here only just over a month ago, actually preached a great message, and I encourage you to get that, that goes into greater detail around the person of who the Holy Spirit is. Do you think of the Holy Spirit as a person, or is it just some it thing? Or is he a person that you can get to know and desire and want to spend time with? And not grieve or offend, but actually begin to discover what is it about this person, the Holy Spirit, that can enable my relationship with him to deepen and richen and grow. So in the Old Testament, we see that the Holy Spirit is referred to and recognized again and again. And we're told that the Holy Spirit comes upon an individual at a particular time for a particular purpose. And then comes off of that person, if you like. So comes upon that person. And it's amazing the kind of things that the Holy Spirit empowered people to do. I mean, you see the creative element where the Holy Spirit comes upon individuals to create. There's others that the Holy Spirit comes upon to actually fulfill great acts of valor and courage. And the Holy Spirit comes upon particular people for wisdom and leadership and political insight. There's how to actually invest in this and not invest into that in terms of keeping a nation safe from starvation through a drought, as to being able to plan and organize and administrate. The Holy Spirit comes upon particular people so that they would actually pen and write what we have as the Old Testament today. So there's that idea that the Holy Spirit is very active throughout the Old Testament. And then we see the Holy Spirit active upon a particular young lady, and she conceives a son, Jesus Christ. And we see that Jesus, when he goes and he is baptized, the Holy Spirit manifests himself as like a dove coming upon him. And in that moment, we see the presence of the Holy Spirit upon Jesus. And John the Baptist, actually, in describing Jesus, he says, you know, I baptize you in water, but one whose sandals I'm not even worthy to tie. In Luke chapter 3, he says he's going to come and baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in fire. So there's some new language, and then we see Jesus' teachings, and particularly in John chapter 14, one of my most favorite chapters in Scripture, we see Jesus actually forecasting and predicting that when he goes, he's not going to leave us as orphans, but he's going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And he uses some really unique words here that totally change the ball game and totally changes the relationship and the understanding of who the Holy Spirit is. And he says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he'll be with you, and he will be in you. That just changes the dynamic. And he says, it will be for all people. For all people. I love that God does not show favoritism. I love that those that are willing, those that are willing to accept Christ and open their lives to him, can actually open their heart and life to the person of the Holy Spirit in a greater and greater way. That's just what an incredible God we have. That is so cool. So Jesus actually is starting to put it out there that when he goes, that he was going to go, he's coming back, but when he goes, he's actually going to send somebody to be our comforter, to be the counselor. In John 14, he also talks about the Holy Spirit's going to, if we're open to it, lead us into truth and to actually teach us things. I so desire to be a student of the Holy Spirit. One of my mentors, one of my teachers is the Holy Spirit. Because if anyone's going to teach us the Word of God and bring to life the Word of God, it's the Holy Spirit. And so as we desire to come into greater relationship with the Holy Spirit, one of the things that he wants to do, if we're open to it, he wants to bring this book alive to us. He wants to make it exhilarating and exciting. He comes to glorify Jesus Christ and to keep pointing us back to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, that we'd be transformed more and more into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1:3 says, for his divine power gives us everything that we need for life and godliness. I love that. Because the reality is we all know how hard it is to live this life. Being a follower of Jesus Christ and making sure it's not just a Sunday deal, but it's a 24/7 deal that we're actually in and reflecting Christ's likeness on a daily basis. It's very easy to do that in the four walls of this building. But when it comes to actually living that out, the Holy Spirit is there to guide, to lead us. The Holy Spirit is actually there to give us courage and boldness. So when Jesus goes, we're told that he gives his disciples some instructions. He said, like, I want you to actually go and hang out in Jerusalem and wait there until the Holy Spirit comes. And you shall be endued with power from on high so that you can be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. So this is day 40. So Jesus ascends on day 40. And then they are instructed to go and hang out in Jerusalem in an upper room. We're told there's 120 of them all hanging out. I wonder what kind of conversations they had from day 40 to the time when the Holy Spirit came. We don't have any record of that. But what kind of things were they talking about? Were they reflecting on Jesus' teachings, reflecting on, you know, he said the Holy Spirit, to remember what he said? And if you remember, actually, at the end of Luke, we're told that before Jesus ascended, he actually breathed upon the disciples and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. He's going, we've done that. What else could actually possibly happen? I don't know, maybe there was a couple of them were just going, how will we know when the Holy Spirit comes? Are we going to actually know? Not knowing what was about to transpire. And we're told that, like, you know, being the festival of Shavuot, which is the festival of weeks, which is on the one hand a celebration, a festival of harvest, but it's also a festival of remembering when Moses was given the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, which was 49 days after they'd gone out of Egypt. And so we're heading towards the day of Pentecost. And so one of the three pilgrimages that the Jewish people would have made to Jerusalem, the Jerusalem was full of Jewish people coming to remember that particular festival on day 49 and day 50, celebrated over 2 days. And so that's why there was so many Jewish people around in Jerusalem at this particular time. But we've got this group of 120 people, maybe about as many as in this room right now, just sitting and waiting, all in one accord, just doing as they were told. Jesus tells them, just wait. And I'm going to send my Holy Spirit, and you shall receive power from on high. So they're sitting there, and then we're told that there is a rumbling, and there's the sound like a mighty rushing wind, and then there's tongues of fire. If anyone had any questions or doubts as to whether they would know, I think they know. I think they're like, hang on a minute. I don't know about you, but I think something's going on here. And Jesus says, I will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in fire. I mean, that's pretty phenomenal. That's pretty phenomenal. And these guys are sitting there and they're starting to experience the fulfillment of what Jesus Christ told them was going to happen. It's comforting to know that God is a God of his word and that if he says it, he will follow through. And so they're sitting there and the Holy Spirit begins to move upon these followers of Christ, 120 followers of Christ. And they're sitting there and we're told that certain things began to happen, that there was a shaking and there was a mighty rushing wind. And these guys began to speak in other tongues. And all of a sudden, it's like a great stirring. We're told it's like 9 o'clock in the morning and we've heard the response of some of the people walking past. They can just hear all this noise of all this noise going on. And it gets their attention and they start to actually question what's going on in there. And some people are just going, well, they've obviously had a really big night. They've had an all-nighter and they're still kind of pretty well hungover and they're just like, you know, they're still pretty drunk. And I know some of you in the room know what that's like the next morning. But they're there and they're just going, we are not drunk as you. This is to fulfill the prophecy of the prophet Joel, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And so the Holy Spirit gets poured out. And then what do we see? Not only are people questioning a supernatural occurrence that takes place, but Peter stands up with a boldness and a courage and an eloquence that he didn't have before. And he preaches a great gospel message. You can read it for yourself. And 3,000 people get added to the church that day. That's not a bad church service, is it? I mean, but not only that, we're actually told that those people were all baptized as well. Could you imagine the logistics of that? How do you baptize 3,000 people in one day? I mean, if we take a guess at 50 of them were baptized and they've got to baptize 60 people each, and, you know, that's pretty hard going. But how exciting, how phenomenal is that? So yes, the Holy Spirit wants to come and he wants to illuminate God's word. He wants to lead us into truth. He wants to open our eyes to the truth of God's word. He wants to come and he wants to give you, he wants to give me a boldness and a courage to be Jesus' hands and feet when we go to work tomorrow, the day after. And for some of us today, before we close, I'm going to pray. And you're just desiring to actually show people more and more than you ever have before the love of Jesus Christ, and your desire for them to come into the supernatural encounter with the love of Jesus Christ like you have experienced yourself but maybe have seen, but you're not sure how to do that. The good news is that's one of the things the Holy Spirit wants to help you with. So even with Reggie coming next week, you might just go, oh, I just don't know, I get so nervous. That's because you're normal. But the Holy Spirit is there to actually give you wisdom as to timing. If you pray for opportunities, I guarantee you the Holy Spirit will give you. He will give you the courage and a sense of timing and discernment about who to speak to and when. And I love this about, we went through a series earlier this year about the spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit comes and he wants to give spiritual gifts to people. And one of those gifts that we see throughout the book of Acts, we see in Acts chapter 1 and 2 particularly, where people begin to speak in other tongues. We see that in Acts 10. We speak that and see that in Acts chapter 19. We see that even what was a big shock is that those people who weren't Jews but the Gentiles were actually received the gift of the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues. And that caused a huge uproar. Again, showing that God has no favorites. He's just looking for hearts that are open and willing and ready to receive. I love when the Holy Spirit has freedom to move. I love when the Holy Spirit is just able to just do what he wants to do. Guess who's that? Guess who that is dependent upon? If I had a mirror, I'd hold it up towards myself, not you. It's us. That we get to actually go, Holy Spirit, you know what? If you're a loving Father who knows how to give, if we know how to give good gifts to our kids, then won't our Heavenly Father even give us greater gifts? And he says, I want to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. See, what happened on the day of Pentecost is that Jesus said, I will. And he poured out the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's been poured out. You know what? God didn't pour out the Holy Spirit and go, I'm taking him back now. And if you're a good kid, you might get some. He poured out the Holy Spirit. And it's up to us whether we want to receive. So for me, it's not even so much, Father, I just pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit. It's more a prayer of, Father, I receive what you've already poured out. Are you with me? And that's a faith statement. That's a faith prayer to say, God, I trust you according to your word that you have poured out your Holy Spirit present on the day of Pentecost, and he is still available to anyone who hunger and thirsts, and I can receive from you. So when I say those words, Holy Spirit, what's your response? Is it, yes, please? If it's not just a willingness and an openness to the Holy Spirit just coming into your world, into your life, and you opening your heart to the person of the Holy Spirit in a greater way, allowing his power, his dunamis power to come and fill your life, to empower you for service, to empower you for witness, to empower you to be more like Christ, to empower you to grasp a better understanding of his word, and the list goes on. Then can I encourage you just to go back to his word? Go back to his word and start to go, Father, I want to know more about the person of the Holy Spirit. Father, I want to know who the Holy Spirit is. You see, I think one of the greatest prayers that we can ever pray is, God, number one, if you're real, show me. And he will. Another great prayer that we can pray, Father, if this is from you, I want it. And that's not conditional. That's just saying, God, I may not fully understand it. When it talks about in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, when it talks about speaking in tongues, we're speaking in tongues, but our mind is unfruitful. That we don't understand what we're saying because we're uttering mysteries unto God when we speak in other tongues, our heavenly prayer language. And I think that's great because it's a mystery to us, but it's not a mystery to God. And so, yes, we don't understand what we're praying, but we're just trusting God as we're moved by the Holy Spirit, that we begin to speak in other tongues, that things begin to shift, things begin to change. Experienced that time and time again in my life. So many times when I run out of prayers to pray, when I run out of the things to say, I believe the Holy Spirit has been given to us in terms of speaking in tongues for one of four reasons. It's either for intercession, Romans 8 tells us. That praying in the Spirit is there for intercession. It's there for personal edification. It's a sign to build up and edify the church. It's a sign to unbelievers that there is a supernatural element, dimension to having a relationship with God, as we see in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. And so this morning, God has blessed us. He's given us this incredible gift that we're called to remember. I pray it just wouldn't be Pentecost Sunday, that we take the time to reflect on this incredible gift that God has given us. But it would become part of our daily walk and daily experience, part of our daily relationship with God, growing in an understanding of who the Holy Spirit is and leaning less on our understanding, but drawing more and more upon Him in that sense. So this morning, we're going to close in prayer, and I'm just going to get Troy to come. You know, this morning's like one of those really weird mornings for me. Because about 4:37 a.m. this morning, God woke me up. And I'm just there and I'm going, God, what do you want to do this morning? Because there's a lot of theology, there's a lot of stuff that could be said. And yet there was really nothing except just pray. And just trust that I'm going to give you something to say when you stand before the people. Now, if you know me, I'm not like that. And I don't like that. And I'm not saying this morning's sermon was anything special. But what I do want to do right now is just make space for the Holy Spirit to have His way. Because when you get woken up at 4:37 and you can't get back to sleep, just going, God, there's got to be a reason for this. I just began to pray. And I'm not stressed about anything. It's not because I'm worried. It's none of that. It was just knowing that we're coming into this service this morning and there's an opportunity for people to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit in this place. That's exciting. And I would much rather that and to give you that opportunity right now than anything that I could say. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what people say, but when you have an encounter, when you have that personal experience of the person of the Holy Spirit in your life, it doesn't matter what people say, it doesn't matter what happens, no one can take that from you. When it's personal, when it's yours. So I'm just going to ask us to stand right now. And we're going to create space in this last few moments. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We just thank you for this day that you have made. It's a day where we're on our calendar. It's a day to remember the day of Pentecost. The day when you, Holy Spirit, you were poured out in an unprecedented way. Father, right now, I just pray that we could step out of a natural and just embrace the supernatural right now. We pray for an open heaven over this room, just as when we were worshiping, Father, just sense there was just an open heaven over this place. Our prayer has been, Father God, that we would be trusted with your presence. Father, I thank you that you do not look for ability, you do not look for gender, you do not look for qualifications, you do not look for education, you look for availability. You look for open hearts that just simply say, I want more of you. Less of me, more of you. That means that I want more of you, Holy Spirit. I want to receive more of you this morning. Right now, Father, I just pray that every thought in this place just to be held captive by the power of your Holy Spirit. For those hearts that are open right now, we just desire you, Holy Spirit, to come and touch hearts. Right now, in Jesus' name. If that's you this morning, you're comfortable to do that, would you just join me and just lift your hands towards heaven and say, Father, this morning, I'm hungry for more of you. God, I'm desperate for you. We need more of you. Father, we need more of you because we live with people that need Jesus. We need more of you, Father God, because I need to be a better husband. I need to be a better dad. Need more of you, Heavenly Father, because we live in a lost and dying world that needs to actually experience the kind of supernatural that will lead them to Jesus so clearly. And you look for men, you look for women, old and young alike, that have their hearts surrendered to you and say, God, use me, fill me. Praise you, Heavenly Father. Just invite the worship team up. I know you guys have got a couple of songs that you could choose from and just lead us in a time of just see, worship church is one of those things that helps us get our minds off of the distractions in our lives, and it's like the praise and worship is like a key that unlocks the door so we can enter into the throne room, the presence of God. So this morning, as we already have, it was just such a beautiful time of worship earlier, but in this moment, we're going to close the service after this song is done and just allow God to continue to do what he wants to do. But just want to sing this song together that the guys lead us in and allow God to take you. Like we said a couple of weeks ago, allow your faith right now to take you to somewhere you haven't been before in God. So much more that God's got for each of us. There's so much more that God has for us as a church. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I stand against the principalities and the powers that would try to hinder, that would try to limit what you want to do in this place this morning. We declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We submit to your Lordship. We submit the spirit of this church. We submit our own personal spirits to you, Holy Spirit, that you could come and have your way right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.